The Koi Gig Pod.
Yeah, I think what Athlone have done is now, as well as being a brilliant team, like the best team always wins the league. I'm a firm believer in that. But they're kind of like the blueprint of how to grow a team. I mean,
subscribe to the Koi Gig Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
The League of Ireland Pod
on Off the Ball
with 888 Casino. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
You're very welcome to this week's League of Ireland Pod on Off the Ball. And what a big week it is for the SSE Airtricity League Premier Division. Tomorrow night is the final night of league fixtures. We've got a two-horse title race now, down from 6 to 4 to 2. It is Shelburne going up against Shamrock Rovers. Not on the pitch, that's for the title. Shamrock Rovers hosting Waterford. Shelburne away to Derry City, whose title dreams ended pretty limply last week. We'll cover that in just a moment. Stephen Doyle here with you again this week, and I'm delighted to be joined as ever by our main men, Vinnie Perth and Gareth McLean. How are you doing, lads?
All right, Stephen.
All good.
All good, Stephen.
I was down at the RSC last week, so we're going to do a big deep dive on Waterford 1, Bohemians 1. All good for that, yeah. I did say it to you in the production notes. No, you're tumbleweed there. No,
take it away, Stephen.
Lads, let's just explore a little bit outside the league before we get into the big stuff, the most important stuff. Larne 1, Shamrock Rovers 4. What a result for Shamrock Rovers up at Windsor Park. There was a lot of talk about Larne going into this game, the way they play the game, how they've built that club over the last number of years. It's been a huge success story in the NAIFL Premiership. I don't want to take anything away from them. But does that 4-win win for Shamrock Rovers, is it a one-off, or does that really highlight the gap in quality between the two leagues? Maybe Vinnie first.
I think it's a mixture of both. I think any result can go against you. So the counter argument to the way by that result is that we have one of our own league sides that struggled against a side from Gibraltar. Does that mean Gibraltar football is ahead of us? No, it doesn't. So anything can happen on a given day. But there's no doubt the very top team in League of Ireland is well ahead of the top team up the north. It's there's just no doubt about that. So brilliant result for Shamrock Rovers. Winning European games of football, no matter who they're against, is always difficult, and they've done their business right. I think it was one of the best performances I've seen all season as well, and must be noted. And I'm a big, big fan of anyone that ever listens to me, at Graham Bourke, and he was exceptional the other day. So they've just got better players. They've got a better structure. They're doing it a lot longer. They're well used to European football. And to be fair, Larne made it easy for them. They made the pitch big, allowed Rovers find space, and they exploited that. And that's what top sides do.
There was talk not so long ago, Gareth, of an All-Ireland League, and, well, it's come up a number of times, but there seem to be some real movements towards an All-Ireland League. And I think a lot of people I speak to, League of Ireland fans, would like to see it. I'm not too sure about supporters in the NIFL Premiership. You can see maybe why not. I'm not just talking about the game last week, but you're talking about a reduction maybe of European places, and that's the big thing. Where I suppose that the teams from the Premiership would feel they may lose out.
Yeah, listen, if I'm a manager, if I'm Kenny Bruce, owner of Larne, I do not want an All-Ireland League. And listen, I know what Vinnie's saying, one-off game, but we're consistently seeing the gap. I think the gap's probably getting a bit bigger. If you think about how long the League of Ireland has been full-time, and 80%, 90% of the clubs have been full-time, to give you an idea, in 2018, and this is just a bit of context on Larne, they were in the second tier of the Irish League. Kenny Bruce came in, obviously, if anybody doesn't know, he's co-founder of Purple Bricks, put a lot of money in, 5 million in September 2017. Now, he didn't put 5 million in and go and sign the best manager, the best players, and go and splash money all over the place. He bought the ground off the council, started to relay the pitch, started to build the stand, put a bit of an education program in, and won the league, then struggled the year after, then won the league back-to-back. So Rovers have been building this for way, way longer than Larne are. And I think and maybe you two agree with me, I think this Rovers team is probably one of the most talented teams that we've ever seen in the league. Now, they haven't always delivered this season, and that's just for whatever reasons. So it was always going to be an uphill battle. Then the fact that it wasn't on Laren's home pitch, Inver Park, which would have been completely different. Big pitch, grass pitch, Rovers far superior technically and fitter. I think it was going to be a tough ask. To give you an idea, Laren only went full-time in the 2018-2019 season. So they've only been full-time for 5 years. I mean, Shamrock Rovers and their players over and back to England, it was always going to be a tough, tough ask for Laren in this game. And we saw the quality of Burke and the rest of the players come to the fore. So, no, I don't see that the All-Ireland League. I want to see the All-Ireland League. I think it has to happen. But the way that the NIFL or the Northern Ireland Football League is going, it needs to get to so many more levels before it will even be considered. And I can understand them not wanting it as well, because the champions now of NIFL, the same as the League of Ireland, have got a great chance of getting into the Conference League group stages as well.
Just briefly then, Gareth, on what you're saying there about Laren, do you think are there lessons there for teams in the League of Ireland in how you put together a club and have a strategy and a plan over a number of years?
Listen, Steve-O, there's loads of teams that are doing things right. There's nobody that's got it right. We're all doing different things. But let me tell you something now. Kenny Bruce is a smart, smart guy. Now, just because he made loads of money and he steps into football, that doesn't mean that you're going to guarantee success. You have got to get the foundations in place. You have got to have, as a prerequisite, I see some junior clubs that are more well-equipped than Premier Division League of Ireland clubs. And what I mean is they own their own ground, they own their own training facilities, they know exactly where they're training, their academies are set up properly, they've got full-time people in behind the football inside of it. Laren have done it really well. The education programme that they've put in place now is of a very high standard. And I know Shamrock Rovers have one as well. Maybe Sligo, there's a few other teams, but not many in the League of Ireland. So he's doing it right. He's getting the foundation in place first, then he's putting the money in, invest. I'll give you an idea. The manager, Tiernan Lynch, when he got on board, Tiernan Lynch was only in the job, right? So he didn't go and get rid of Tiernan Lynch and say, I'm bringing on my own man. He kept faith with him. He was under serious pressure in 2021-2022 season, where he lost in the cup final and didn't win the league and didn't qualify for Europe. And then he stuck with him and he won back-to-back leagues after that as well. So what can we learn? We can learn patience. We can learn to get the infrastructure and everything on the foundation of a club right, and success will come. These people trying to throw money at success and trying to keep up with the Joneses and other clubs, it just ends so badly.
Vinny, next week it's TNS for Shamrock Rovers and another maybe a gauge of where Irish football sits. TNS, of course, a club that would give certain League of Ireland supporters some PTSD. But look, like, TNS are a good team. They do things the right way as well. And they're not going to be any pushover by any means.
No, I think this one will be a little bit more difficult. But there's no doubt the way UEFA have structured this competition, it helps. I say this and repeat myself, I know, so many times. But remember, the Northern Ireland champions, the Welsh champions and the Irish League champions are all in this competition, all competing for prize money of 400,000 just to win one game. So it's brilliant, and not before time, but UEFA this is designed to let the money from the very top of the game filter down into the smaller clubs. So must give credit where it's due. It's another opportunity for Shamrock Rovers to pick up points in the European competition, something that is very, very difficult to come by. But it is definitely a lot easier now than ever was. That's not got to do with them. That's not their fault. They have to go and seize the moment. And the one thing we did speak about a couple of weeks ago was Rovers qualifying for the group stage Conference League gave them such a big confidence boost, and also gave the manager great headaches, because it meant players would play for the places. There'd be a great feeling and a vibe around the club, and you can see that in the performances. I know the Pats one stands out where they were beaten heavily. But that aside, for the last couple of months, Rovers have looked the real deal. They've looked like what they should have looked like all season. And they're unplayable at times when they're like that. And they've been excellent. And TNS will have a difficult against them, and you'd fancy Rovers to pick up another win and potentially another 400k, which is massive for them. And as I said, the boost they'll get from that, it's a good chance of Rovers getting out of this group, and that's huge for them as a club.
And I think as well, Vinny, I think it shows you the team that he picked against Larne really meant that he was concentrating on the league game against Drogheda. I know we mentioned it last week, but that's the beauty of having a big squad. You're able to go and win a European match, rest in a few players that you want to play then on the Sunday, which is an important. He knows and how important it is finishing champions in League of Ireland as well. He would have preferred to lose that game against Larne and win the game against Drogheda, and subsequently he won both.
Yeah, it was ridiculous that the quality of the team that he could put out, even with all those changes made last week. So look, it'll be interesting to see how Rovers get on after the League of Ireland's season finishes in European competition. Just quickly, I want to touch on, lads, we won't spend too long on it. The PFA nominations, it's always going to divide opinion. I suppose a lot of people think, well, the players are playing each other week in, week out. Nobody knows better than them. Seems to be a lot of people wondering if Paddy Barris was hard done by. The three nominations, of course, from Waterford. We got Podge Amond, we got Dylan Watts for Shamrock Rovers, and then, sorry, who's the final one? Oh my God, I had them written down there a moment ago. What can I think of the final player who was nominated?
Michael Duffy.
Michael Duffy, my apologies, Michael. So yes, Michael Duffy, third nomination. Bit of brain freeze there, okay. Lads. Okay, so go on.
I'm not going to slag off the PFAI. We don't have a brilliant relationship. Never did, okay? That's just life, innit? Some of us are Marmite. What I will say is I've never been a lover of the team of the year because you have four centre-halves for argument's sake, okay? Now, you have to settle on a shape and it's always difficult for them and it's nonsense to be even worried about it. There's bigger issues. But, like, you've got to pick a back four, right back, left back, two centre-halves for me. If you're going to go midfield three, that's fine. But having three centre forwards in your team of the year and not putting a winger in. Anyway.
Just on the player of the year, Vinny, do you think are they the three best candidates, do you think?
No, because if Michael Duffy is gone, and people know what I think of Michael Duffy, right? He's the footballing child I never had, right, in many ways. But Michael Duffy has got into this team on probably the second half of the season because he was injured for most of the first half. So if you're going to take that criteria, then Gavin Molloy is definitely in the running for that, and Paddy Barrett are in the running for it. Molloy has left, and same for Will Jarvis. So Shamrock Rover or Shelbourne aren't heavily in the team of the year because there's a recency bias about that, and I get that. I understand it. But the performance of Shelbourne over this season, particularly the first half of the season. So it's the team of the year, not of the last 3 months. Shelbourne players should be all over that squad, absolutely all over it. There's no doubt about it. Jarvis, Molloy, Barrett, Gannon, they should make up 40, if not 50% of that squad. The goalkeeper, we can all argue about. I don't think there's a toss of a coin between three, four, five keepers. But Shelbourne players have been a little bit hard done by that squad, in my view.
The player of the year, Gareth, your thoughts on the three nominations?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the three nominations. It's scandalous that Paddy Barrett hasn't been involved in it. Mm. We're talking about a league that has been ultra competitive, that the defenders have come out on top, basically. There hasn't been enough goals scored, and you're trying to tell me that Paddy Barrett, who is right now, the league table doesn't lie, is Shelbourne the best team in the country coming on the Friday night, and he is the centre half. He's been there all season. Assists, headers, tackles. He's been absolutely asked. And I'm not. It would be my player of the year.
Everybody hates centre halves and defenders, don't they? I always say Paolo Maldini should be in the same conversation with the likes of Pelé and Maradona for the greatest players of all time. But people have this. They've got some. And I'm speaking as an old amateur centre back myself. I'm always with the centre halves union, Franco Baresi, Paul McGraw, all these guys, like they do get praised, but I don't think they get praised enough because they don't have goals, they don't have assists, and it's all about stats now, isn't it, for attacking players? And it's just, yeah, really grinds my gears, I have to say. I'll get that one off my chest.
Yeah, but the difference was over the years, Stephen, if you think of someone like Richie Towell getting 30 goals, you think of the performance of Jack Bourne, you think Shawnee Maguire, you think Jack Bourne, Michael Duffy, I'm probably leaving one or two out, but the all forward players, forward thinking, who dominated the league, to Gareth's point, in the forward area.
Yeah, but alongside them, you had Pico Lopez for Shamrock Rovers. Absolutely. Like, Rovers wouldn't have had the success they've had without Pico Lopez anchoring that defence. What about Andy Boyle when you were at Dundalk? Like, Andy Boyle, who got a move off to Scotland on the back of his brilliant performances for Dundalk. Absolutely amazing player.
Yeah, but my point is, you can lose out to the odd fella who's going to do something out of the ordinary, like a Richie Towell or, as I said, a Graham Bourke, whoever that may be, that's fine. But the centre-halves have dominated the league this year in many ways, and centre midfielder. It's a little bit like Mark Coyle not getting into the team of the year. Mark Coyle has come off it in the second half of the season, fine, or even. But Mark Coyle was pivotal in if Shelbourne do win the league title. Forget his last couple of performances or the last 3, 4, 6 weeks. Look at him from the start of the season. Mark Coyle was absolutely outstanding, and he has to go into team of the year. Is he in the best midfielder of the country? You're picking the best team over a couple of years now, but over this season or that league, Mark Coyle has to go in.
He is in the PFAI's team now. He is in their team, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but the point I'm making is he has to be thereabouts in the show for player of the year.
Yeah, I get you.
Because the difference between him and Dylan Watts, look, Dylan Watts is a better player than Mark Coyle, absolutely. I don't think even Mark Coyle would argue with that. But Watts' form has only been the second half of the season, and he looks like probably the best midfielder in the country at the moment, ahead of two players that are even better than him, and Bourke and Bourne. So it's all recency bias. Well, it's great. It's great for debate, and I wouldn't knock anybody for having a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's once we're talking about the league, that's the main thing, isn't it? And if people have opinions, all well and good. It is great to have a final night decider, lads. It is going to be either Shamrock Rovers or Shelbourne crown champions Friday night, tomorrow night. I should mention, Off the Ball, of course, we'll be covering both games live on News Talk from 7 o'clock tomorrow night. That's Friday night. We're recording here on Thursday. Shamrock Rovers at home to Waterford. That's a sellout at Tallaght Stadium. I'm sure it is up at the Brand New Well as well. I haven't got confirmation on that. But of course, Derry City hosting the champions in waiting, Shelbourne. But they still have a bit of work to do. Disappointing, though, I should touch on quickly, lads, not to have Derry City involved in the final night. Were we surprised at all by the result of St. Pat's last week, Vinny?
No, we weren't in terms of Pat's form and their ability to beat teams recently, and the sort of feel good factor there. I wouldn't have shocked me if the result had went either way, because I was expecting some of the big name players of Derry City to step up to the plate, and they haven't over the last couple of weeks for whatever reason. Hasn't gone their way. I spoke recently about the balance of the squad was off. They've got probably too many players, very similar technical players, and they probably lacked a little bit of determination, or whatever the right word is. I'm not sure, but they lacked something over the last couple of weeks, a little bit of belief, and there will be questions about the manager, and I get that. There'll be question marks about some of their players. I think they've a lot of work to do in the transfer window now to be back in the title race next year, and that's why this one is going to hurt them so much. It's not an easy thing to get over the line for that club now, because of, you look at Rovers' money, you look where Pats are coming from, and so many other teams have money. Derry are going to have a difficult period, you would feel, in the next 12 months to get close to winning the league title again. So that will be the challenge.
Yeah, like that last year was disappointing for Derry City, Gareth. But look, it was up against one of the great league winning sides of all time, Shamrock Rovers, winning their fourth title in a row. You can understand that. But this year was the big opportunity. This was the opportunity that Derry City have been waiting for a long, long time. There's no shortage of finances there for players. The best players have been brought up by Rory Higgins, some of the best players in the league. And like, I get the impression, I've spoken to a couple of Derry City supporters, there's a real anger and a real frustration the way the league title challenge just died off with a bit of a whimper over the last number of weeks. I think the back-to-back draws against Sligo Rovers and Bohemians at home were crucial in letting that title slip away. Can you understand why supporters would be angry about what's happened?
Absolutely, Steve-O, you've got one right here. It didn't happen even last night against, or the other night against Pats, or the throughout the season in the last 2 years under this management, there's been too many draws. If you have 10 draws, if you win five and lose five, you've got 50% more points. So draws have cost them over the 2 years. Last year, as you say, it was an incredible Rovers team. The points that they got was respectable. This year, the directive was very simple from the chairman and the supporters and the board. It was go and win the league. Now, the talk before the season started was, we're creating all these chances. We're getting balls into the box. We need a striker. Hooban arrives in the club. Is flying fit. Best striker, bar none, in the country. Right, he's going to slot in beautifully. And something changed. So it almost was that the players just sat back and went, happy days, he's here now. It's all just going to come into place and we're going to win the league. I don't think there was enough work done throughout the year. There was loads of different things happened. But at the end of the day, the league table does not lie. It looks like Derry are going to finish fourth. Hopefully won the cup final. It's not going to be easy. So I can understand the frustrations. Last Friday night at St Pat's, Vinny's right, I was at the game. It was a brilliant game. Technically very good, both sides. Just St Pat's took their chance. But again, it was a bit of a whimper from Derry. Severe lack of leaders and drive for a team that's going for the league. And that's the real disappointing thing. I don't think that the supporters would be as frustrated had Derry gone out and given a real rattle and they could see from the stands that every player knew exactly what it meant to not win the league in 28 years. And it just didn't look like that from the stands.
Well, but Gareth, question, how do you fix it? Like, you've obviously seen Derry more than anybody, because you look at their strikers, Colin Whelan, Mullen, two of them exceptional, and then potentially the best in the country, in Hooban. So there's no shortage of quality. You look at their midfield, it's excellent. McElhenney, Patching, Diallo and Adam Riley, like, they've got quality all over the place. Where do you see them fixing it? Because Ben Doherty, if he's fit, is probably potentially the best left full in the country. Yeah, now, I know where I would fix it, but and goalkeeper, no one argues, is right up there.
And you can talk about Doherty now, Vinny, right in the end of the season, but the big problem they have now as a club, they haven't, and I tell you what happened as well, see the transfer window at the beginning or in the middle of the season, they went backwards. And it's the first time during a transfer window under Rory Higgins that Derry City went backwards. And I don't know what happened. And since then, there's a lot of players, I can rhyme them off if you want, that are out of contract now at the end of the year. There's going to be a massive overhaul. So this was building up. This was a 3-year thing, and it built up and built up, and it died with a whimper. So it's almost, I don't want to say a complete reset, but it's a big reset going to happen. So as you say, that's the biggest opportunity that Derry are going to have, and it could be. And I talked about the off the field struggles of Derry at the minute, and the infrastructure is not set up right. Personally, I'm not sure Derry City are ready to win the league. On the pitch or off the pitch?
Look, we'll preview the FA Cup final next week, but just quickly to touch on it, like, it sounds to me that they're not going into the Cup final really in a great place mentally. The players, like, it's the season's kind of fading out here. Like, they're going up now against Shelburne tomorrow night. They might have to watch Shelburne celebrating the title win at the Brandywell. Like, that doesn't really send you off to the Aviva like in great form or great mood, does it?
No, and the challenge they have is it's two things. I think Shelburne and Derry could handle losing the league title to each other. I think if either of them lose it to Shamrock Rovers, they'll know basically they made the balls of it. Excuse me language. It is not good. Look, where Rovers have come from to win this league tells you something's not right. But having said that, Stephen, it wouldn't shock me if Derry City on their day, and particularly that pitch, could easily win a cup final 3 or 4-0, honestly. And I think they're that good, potentially. It's whether that's good enough for the ownership, the club, the players, the staff to hang around and go again for another year. But it's going to be really difficult. And you wonder what the environment is like next week in terms of if they were to lose to Shelburne, how will that, like, manifest itself in terms of the noise around the pitch and the ground, and It's not ideal going into a cup final, but as I said, on the day, this team is as good as anybody in the country, and that's why we're all disappointed for Derry and Higgins in particular. It's been a difficult season for them.
And the only thing, Stephen, that we just lastly touch on the cup final is that their cup form has been incredible. I mean, they've put out Pats, they've put out Shells, they've put out Bows, haven't conceded a goal. So I don't think they're going to be going there. I mean, the whole dilemma is, do you concentrate on the cup? Do you rest the likes of Michael Duffy, O'Reilly? You're a really important player. Derry can't afford to get any more injuries. They've already got a list of injuries. One or two more in key positions could really swing the cup final. And I don't think the cup final is going to be as easy as people think. Shelburne were a wee bit shell-shocked 2 years ago, and they caught them on the hop. I don't think Kevin Doherty and this Drogheda team will be like that. They're not naive. They've got enough experience in there, and they've been around the block enough times to know that what they need to do to kind of keep Derry quiet. And the longer they leave it, the more difficult it will get.
Yeah, we'll get deeper on the cup final next week. It is good to touch on it, though, because it does have a bearing on what happens tomorrow night. Because, as you say, Gareth, down to team selection, like, because both of you guys said to me last week, Drogheda United have two games to worry about. That's the cup final and the relegation playoff. Well, Derry City are in the same position now, because all they have to worry about really is the cup final. I know they can get the third place in the league still, but they are depending on St. Pat's losing while trying to beat Shelburne at the same time. And what does third place get them? It gets them into the Europa Conference League. However, a cup win could get them into the Europa League, depending on how all the coefficients work out. And that would mean they get two shots at Europe the way things go next year. So the cup final really is the most important thing for Derry City. So does that mean, like Drogheda last week, they go into tomorrow night not really caring what happens against Shelburne, Vinny?
No. They play their strongest team. They get a victory. They get a bit of momentum working into the cup final.
It's not contradicting what you said last week, no?
No, I think you were listening to Gareth last week talking about Drogheda. I think the two separate issues. The difference is the prize for Derry is you would imagine Pats will have a difficult up and away in Sligo, if I'm not mistaken, so that would be a difficult fixture for them. I think they've got to do their business right. They've got to do it for the integrity of the league. They can't just roll over and let Shelburne come up and win the league in their patch. It's not what you do as a player. It's not out badness to Shelburne, Duff, or any players. You just do your business right as a football club. I think they'll do that. Yes, if somebody's struggling with injury, do be careful. But they've got to secure them points and hope that gets them third place. European football is crucial for so many clubs. And they will have to do that on Friday night to their best of their ability. That's what I feel.
Yeah, well, Higgins said, I'll give you the line here, he said he won't be taking any unnecessary City risks. I don't think that would make any sense, but we'll still have a really good team on the pitch capable of winning the game. We are representing this club, a proud football club, and we want to finish the season on a high and win the game. We'll be as professional as we can and try and win the game. Shelburne, Damien Duff, he'll be maybe looking at those quotes or listening to those quotes, Gareth, and thinking, right, well, they are going to put it up to us. But like, Shelburne have a dreadful record against Derry City. I think it's 11 games since their last win against Derry City. That was away from home, as it happens. Before that, their last win was back in 2012. And I know they were in the first division for a long spell in the intervening period. So they're going up there knowing they've got a dreadful record against Derry City, you know, expecting a good, hard battle. As you said, in relation to Drogheda United, there'll be players maybe coming into the team that wouldn't be regulars in the team. They'll be going out to prove a point to Rory Higgins ahead of the big day at the Aviva Stadium.
And the margins are that fine when you think about the Derry City squad right now and players, because they've changed that much over the last four. Like, defensively, there's been so many kind of partnerships that anybody who comes in and does well against Shelburne will probably play in the cup final. And they'll play somewhere in the back four or in the midfield or up front. There's very few players that Rory Higgins can turn around and go, that's going to be a starter. So no matter who goes out on Friday night for Derry City, they'll want to put in a performance and try and win the game. But it now comes down to Shelburne. Shelburne have a chance to win the league. They have to win the game. I can't see Shamrock Rovers doing anything but beat Waterford. And that's no disrespect to Waterford. Just, I've watched Shamrock Rovers live now four or five times coming down the season. They are in a different gear. So Shelburne know, yes, they'll be keeping an eye on the match. They won't want to go a goal down the first half. But come the second half, if it's 0-0, the crowd are getting on Derry's backs, Shelburne will have to put the foot down on the pedal. I expect a really good game. And I expect a good game either way, no matter who Derry put out. I don't think Derry will rest too many players. I think they'll be going out there to win the game, put a marker down and get ready for the cup final. Because I agree with you, Steve. I think Derry City have to be ruthless and concentrate in the cup final just because of that Europa League coefficient. They're sitting in 33rd at the minute. I don't see it changing. I see the cup winner, like Pats in 2023. They went down in the Europa Cup in 2024. I see the cup winner this year going in the Europa Cup. And that is huge.
Mm. And just to touch real quickly, Stephen, my fear of Derry making too many changes is I think ultimately defensively, and I don't mean statistically in terms of amount of goals they concede, I think they haven't won the league because they haven't recruited well enough in their defence. Yes, Dunmigan is a massive loss, but he was playing in midfield and different things. I don't think they've recruited well enough in the midfield, in their back four, and they haven't had enough strength and depth in that position. So if they take too many unnecessary risks in their back four, they'll be punished by Shelbourne.
Well, Shelbourne have won now. Derry City, two big pressure games. They drew them back to back against Sligo and Bowes. That could have been the big turning point for them in winning the league. It didn't happen. Shelbourne, under big pressure going into the Drogheda United and Waterford games, they beat them both. They're, you know, without players who are injured. They obviously lost Malloy and Jarvis earlier in the season. Like, what they've done really has been brilliant over the last couple of games, Shelbourne. They could have fallen away easily after the run they were on before that two-week break. And you look at players like Evan Caffrey, Ryan Tulloch coming in and pulling in brilliant performances for them. Like, I don't think Damien Duff, Vinny, is going to need to motivate these players at all. They're on a high coming into this game. I really fancy Shelbourne to go up and win this game.
Yeah, and I can understand that why and the why of that, because if you go back to that Waterford game, Paul Gammon scored the penalty. It was Sean Boyd, who they've missed for a long period of the second half, so he's turned the game for them. And he obviously scored again the other day. I think Sean Boyd scored a brilliant goal up in Derry. It was a simple goal, but brilliant goal where he gets across.
10 goals and 5 assists for him this season, Vinny. That's brilliant.
Yeah, with a lot of injuries in the middle of that, and Duff has had to mind him as well. So I think Sean Boyd was the catalyst of this big week or these big two couple of results they had. But the Waterford, that goal Boyd scored, because it was going against them. I think if they got a half-time, it was the 14th minute Boyd scored. If they got the half-time 1-0 down, then you start having doubts. The manager might go on a bit of a rant. Players start looking at each other. They're talking in the tunnel. Maybe he could do this, you could do that. So that goal was huge. And it feels like it's given them a chance to turn this whole season back around in their favour. It's so hard to call. I can see all the different results up there. There's no favourite in the game in any way, shape or form, except Derry will have to protect a couple of players. But it's a really difficult last game for Shelbourne to go up there and expect to win, because we all expect Rovers, no disrespect to Waterford, but we expect Rovers to win that last game. As I said, they're in real good form. So, I'm going to get myself battered here around Talla for saying this, but I really hope Shelbourne go on and win this league title. Not out any disrespect to Rovers. Normally, I'm the other way. Normally, I want the very best team to win, the champions to win. Whether it's in snooker, I always love Steve Davis. Whether it's in Formula One, it's Lewis Hamilton. I just like the best coming out on top. But there's something special about what Duff and that group of players have done. And I think if they fail now, we may not see them back in this position again. So I think for momentum reasons, for the quality of the league next year, to bring so many of them players onto the next level, I really hope to get over the line now. I genuinely do. And as I said, it's not about knocking Rovers. It's just what they've achieved this year. They are the story of the league, Shelbourne. And so many of the players say deserve huge credit for the levels they've gone up.
Yeah, I suppose Vinny touches on the intangible there, Gareth. And I suppose it's that belief, isn't it? Do you believe you can go out and win that league title tomorrow night? Have you seen that belief in that Shelbourne team from watching them?
Yeah, coming from behind against Waterford. But I think it's been driven from the defence. There's no question. I mean, we talk about Boyd, Burt, Tulloch and all that. in the Brandywell on Friday night, it's going to be Paddy Barrett that's going to be orchestrating the whole lot at the, in defence, talking to them when to go forward, when to drop, take 5 minutes, let's now push up high line, they're going to have to go for this. He's going to be the one that's going to be orchestrating and communicating. He is so vital to this team as well. Then look at him losing his mate Malloy right beside him, who the two of them were, they just looked inseparable. They looked really, really strong. But I think the extra 5%, and it's kind of like Derry last week as well, Stephen, in the fact that if Shelburne get beat in the Brandywell and don't win the league, it won't be a case of getting beaten in the Brandywell costing the league. It will be the previous fixtures. And that's the way it looks like. I think Shamrock Rovers have come through a lot of difficult fixtures and won them, beating Waterford at home. It'll be a difficult enough fixture, but you'd be expecting them in their current run of form to win that. So it's up to Shells now to go out on this night now to go and win the league. I think they can do it. It's going to be very difficult. It's not going to be easy. And I think the big players are going to have to stay up for it. So the Ledwich and me, that Barrett and Ledwich for me, centre-half partnership is going to be key.
Yeah, Sean Gannon as well. Go on.
Yeah, can I just touch on why I want Shelburne to win? Genuinely nothing against Rovers. People think I dislike them. I actually don't. But there you go. I remember, and I know Rovers have beaten Shelburne as well, but I remember back in May when Shelburne went to Tallaght Stadium and won 2-0. And I'm lucky enough to go to a match or two, and then I watched two or three over the weekend as well, obsessed by it. That is the best performance I've seen from anybody this season, that performance up in Tallaght. And why, there were so many different whys. Rovers dominated the first 20 minutes. That little half position where he played on the left-hand side, where it's either Burke or over the years, it's been Gaffney falling there. Tactically, on the bench, Joey O'Brien and Damien Duff made a tactical switch. And you being a Bowes man might laugh at this, but he moved Sullivan back into a right-back position and allowed Cannon go narrow, okay? And Matty Smith then counter-attacked and scored two brilliant goals. One was a penalty and the other one was a breakaway. Tactically, everything about that performance was top notch from the bench and the execution of the players. Gannon going in and stopping the threat in that narrow position where Rovers are so strong. And it was a lesson for everyone else, and most teams haven't picked up on it. But Shelburne's performance that day is still the best performance I've seen all season. Probably one or two of Derry's are up there, to be fair to them, against Pats in particular, but that was in the FAI Cup. But that performance was as good as it gets. And for that reason alone, the sort of tactical nerd in me would love them to win the league come this weekend.
Well, lads, we're nearly about time to wrap up here. Can I just throw one spanner in the works here? I was looking up the record. Stephen Bradley against Keith Long. 27 matches played. Bradley's won 14. Keith Long's won 11. And they've only drawn 2. And Waterford did win 3-1 in Tallaght in May. There's a big rivalry between those two men. Bradley has faced Long more than any other manager on the touchline. I'm sure Keith Long would like to maybe throw a spanner in Shamrock Rovers' works there tomorrow night.
Oh, absolutely. And don't forget as well, Steve-O, the history. Derry had the chance to win the league in 2006 against Shelburne and goal difference. Myself and Rory Higgins were in that team. They got us on goal difference. It was for the treble as well. So there's nothing. Rory Higgins will still have that scar in his heart. So he would like to put one over in Shells as well. But yeah, I mean, Bradley and Keith Long, that's some titanic battles. I wouldn't have said it was so close. So fair play to Keith Long.
What's key in that game is an early goal for Rovers, and you would fear Waterford not give up. That'd be disrespectful of them. But the longer you stay in the game,
They went one down to Bowes last week, Keith, Vinny, and you would have thought that maybe Waterford might have went, shut up shop, but they fought and they got a 1-1 draw in a game that didn't really mean anything.
Yeah, but Rovers are a little bit better than Bowes. I'm sorry to say that to Steve. But
totally missed my point there, Vinny. Go on, I'll allow it.
We're a hood. But the difference here is the great thing of football is that bit of shithousery kicks in. If that game is nil off after 60 minutes, Waterford will play for a draw. They'll sit in. They'll be dogged. They'll waste time. All of that stuff, because that's football. And if you play at any sort of a level, you'll do anything to get one over another pro in that sense. And so pride will kick in. But if it was nil all at half time, that'll make that game really, really interesting.
And it wouldn't surprise you either, lads. I mean, the way this season's gone, would it surprise you if Rovers or Shells don't get a result and it stays the way the same? I mean, the season's been that crazy.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we do have live commentary on Off the Ball of both games. We'll be switching between the two grounds. I know Vinnie Perth, you'll be going along with Nathan Murphy and your personal bodyguard to Tallaght Stadium for the game between Shamrock Rovers and Waterford. And
I Why didn't Nathan go up to North? Like, he's talking
well,
all the
because
year about
the I've got a real affinity with Derry. I love the city of Derry. I've got family up there. I know a lot of people up there. It's also Halloween. The best place in the world to be for Halloween is Derry. I know that's actually today. But anyway, so that's why I'm going up there. So I'll be going up there. Unfortunately, we were unable to afford the buyout clause to get Gareth McLean off the BBC Radio foil. He's far too expensive for us. So I'll be going up there with Sean Holmes to oversee that game. So we'll be doing live commentary between the two. But I'm sure myself and Gareth might meet up for an old bag of chips after the game.
You absolutely, Stephen.
You wouldn't understand him up there. When he's with his own people, he talks in a different language. You just wouldn't understand him. So you're better off, Steve, keeping him off air.
Great stuff. Well, listen, lads, we will have our big, the big cup preview next week, and we will all pick, along with Nathan as well, the four of us on duty next week, we'll pick our team of the season and see how they all match up. Look ahead to the FAI Cup final. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night. So do tune into News Talk tomorrow night, folks, if you're listening to the wireless. We'll have all that live action from Tallaght Stadium and from the Ryan McBride brand new. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, lads.
Cheers.
Good man.
The League of Ireland pod.
On Off the Ball.
With 888 Casino. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.